time for Area Voices, where we're going to find out about some folks in the Pequot Lakes area. There are so many good people in the world. Donald Babinski was one of them. He was a guy who had a huge love of animals, and he had a big dream of building a state-of-the-art animal shelter in Pequot Lakes that would give animals what he called the shot they need to find a great home. It opened in 2017. It can house up to 200 cats and dogs. Here to tell us more about it is Jennifer Lee. She's the marketing manager at the Babinski Foundation. Jennifer, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us on. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I think we should start with hearing more about who Donald Babinski was.
Yeah, so I unfortunately did not have the opportunity to meet Donald, but he was a great man who had an incredible vision for animals in our direct area, but then seeking out what we could do to kind of help our community and beyond. So the foundation was actually established in 2010, and he had tragically passed away in 2014 in the midst of the building and process. However, his family and friends did not want to let this legacy go, so they continued on with his mission and built the building and was able to have our grand opening in 2017, like you had mentioned. And from there, we've really transpired into a full shelter, looking to seek out to help throughout the Midwest and so on. So we've had an incredible 2019 year, but just in the 3 years that we've been open here, we've had over 1,300 adoptions.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's an incredible number for us to see. And over 500 of those are just from this year alone.
Hmm. And Jennifer, how many did you adopt in that time?
You have no idea. I would take all of them home if my husband would let me.
I bet.
So, Jennifer, I hate to just talk about a building because we're talking about dogs, but this is just no building. This is spectacular facility. It must be amazing inside. How many animals can you take care of?
Yeah, so we can house 100 dogs and 100 cats. So I would really urge each of you to just go check out our website, Facebook, Instagram pages. We display a ton of images there of our building and the animals, but it truly is a state-of-the-art facility. So I think one thing that does kind of set us apart from most shelters is that we do have our own on-site vet clinic. So we do all of our own radiology. We have a surgical suite, our own lab, all the goods to be able to help the animals as soon as our vet staff are able to. We do not currently have a full-time veterinarian, though. So if any of the listeners out there know of someone, send them our way. We would love to have a full-time vet on staff. But, yeah, we can house 100 of each.
That's amazing. So how do these hundreds of animals get there for varying reasons, I'm assuming?
Absolutely. So we take in animals that are stray, surrendered to us by families. We do contract with a couple of our local reservations, and we also have police drop-off that occur after hours. So we do contract with the local police department that does have a code that allows them to get into our facility and fill out paperwork, letting us know where the animal was located and such, so that we can start our process in finding the family of that animal if they're microchipped. I'll throw a little FYI out there. If you don't microchip, we do have microchip clinics because we want to be able to rehome these animals back to their families as much as we can.
So can you tell the difference, and I don't know how much you're paying attention to the dogs or are around the dogs, but can you tell the difference in a dog that's been just maybe on the streets and a dog that's, you know, had a family maybe, and for whatever, someone passed away or they had to move, they had to bring the dog there? It sounds like two different personalities.
Yeah, so we do really see just a variety of different behaviors from animal to animal, and It really can vary if they were surrendered and what their behaviors are like. And in some cases, a lot of our senior pets are coming from our senior community members, and they unfortunately are headed into an assisted living home or a nursing home and aren't able to keep their animal any longer. So not all surrenders are because it's just a bad fit or there's something wrong with the animal. Oftentimes surrenders are very hard for families, and there's a lot of tears on that side and our staff side. But we're so grateful that we have a facility that allows us to help rehome those animals. They all deserve that second chance and to find a family that's able to dedicate to them.
Speaking with Jennifer Lee, she's the marketing director for the Babinski Foundation, and she's talking to us from Pequot Lakes.
How is the Babinski Foundation funded?
So we're strictly on a donation status. So that's really what I actually just joined the Babinski Foundation team here in August. And one of my goals has really been to get a sponsor or donor program started. We are a nonprofit organization, so we can only do so much more work. I mean, a typical animal that comes into our care, right off the bat, we're spending approximately $850 on them between the intake process, them being spayed or neutered, vaccinated, and microchipped. That cost comes about to $850, and so their adoption fee does not cover that. So my goal at this point, rolling out into the 2020 year, is a sponsor program. And that's going to be developed as being corporate-related or an individual or family-dedicated sponsor. So you can sponsor different areas of our shelter, different wings, whether it be the cat wing or the dog wing. You can sponsor our cat sanctuary that is specific to our FIV and FELV cats. And then just our shelter as a whole. So all of that will be being rolled out here January 2020.
Wow. Okay, so I think, John, I've been looking at your website. And I don't think people should make a rash decision to give a gift of an animal. But if you know someone who would love an animal, you know, it's a great time of the year to adopt one. But who is available for adoption right now? Can you tell us about a few of them?
Yeah, so we've got a good variety of animals that are available currently. For dogs, we've got a couple long-term residents that I'd love to see go to a home, Oliver being one of them. He's one of my favorites. I've had him as my office dog here and there just to be able to promote some socialization, allow them to be outside of the kennel setting, and hear just some regular real-life noises that happen when he's potentially in a home. So, yeah, Oliver, he's one of my favorites. He's a two-year-old. He was surrendered to us back in July. He's a Basset Hound Corgi mix. So he is just a funny-looking dude because he's a short stature.
John? Oh, my God, I have a Basset Corgi mix.
Uh-oh, and John might be adding.
Yes, and I call it a corget.
That's great.
So that's fantastic. I'm sorry to interrupt
Oliver
you.
Is 2 years old, you said, right?
He is, yes.
You know, John said to me when he was looking through your website yesterday, he said he appreciated how honest you were about the animals, the write-ups about them.
Yeah, and that's one thing I found to be super important is being transparent. We want to make sure that the animals are truly going to a prosperous home. And unless we're able to provide all of the details and make sure that they're aware, it's not going to be successful. So such as Oliver's case, he does have some tendency to prefer females. He gets a little more nervous and anxious around males. So that's something that's just important to state as he does find a family. And, of course, we do require meet and greets with all of our potential adopters. So
that's fantastic.
To make sure it's a good fit.
So why is Oliver not being adopted? For that very reason?
Yeah, I think it really is for that very reason. It is a little bit harder to find a market of a single female, no children, someone who is able to do some behavioral training. Our staff here, we don't have a behavior staff here, but our animal care staff do what we can to help them just abide by different I'm blanking on my word.
That's all right.
Teaching them different commands. There we go. To help give them a sense of satisfaction. All animals want to be able to appease you and make you happy. So we believe that command training is great for them.
What happens at a meet and greet?
Yeah, so what we do, this is something that kind of separates our facility a little bit. But as potential adopters come through, they'll look through our book of available animals that we have, and they'll designate, hey, I want to see Oliver today. So we have a separate viewing room, so we bring Oliver up from his kennel setting. That way it's a little bit more at ease, a little bit more room where they can play. We do a visit there with the entire family, so that's going to include your other dogs, just to make sure that everybody is on the same page. They get a chance to meet before just coming into one's home. And if all goes well, we complete the survey, just a piece of our paperwork that lets us know about if you own your home or rent, if you have children, other animals, if you're on a farm, different pieces like that. And then we proceed with the adoption.
Sounds amazing. So one thing I'm always concerned about with facilities like yours, well, not like yours, I've never seen one like yours, but do the dogs get exercise a lot? Is there a lot of land that they can run on?
Yeah, so that's so exciting about us. So everybody says, well, we're out in Pequot Lakes, but where are you? And so we are a little bit off of 371. We're about 6 miles out. But the plus side of that is we have a lot of space for the animals to enjoy. So we have over 2 miles of walking trails. The dogs get out 4 times a day, and we do have a couple volunteers that actually run with our dogs. So guys like Maverick, if you had seen Gandalf at all when you flipped through our pages, he was another one that enjoyed a good run. So she comes out in the mornings and runs with the dogs. And then we also have our separate training room, our viewing room, and our offices that we rotate the dogs in and out of. That way they get, like I said, some socializing, some room to be out of their kennel setting, and just kind of roam. So
Oliver is handsome. We're putting him up on our website, and I got a feeling we're going to move Oliver. Some young lady's going to take Oliver.
Oh, my gosh. So I think we need to hear about, there looks like a lot of really nice cats there as well. That's more of, I'm a more of a cat person. Tell us about some of the cats that you hope find homes.
Yeah, so I will share an exciting story. One of our cats, Cake, he had been here for the longest time, and if you're on our website, you'll see him at the bottom there as our pet of the month. He was the cutest dang thing, just a long-haired cat, and for whatever reason, he was not getting adopted. Well, he finally found his home last week, so yeah. We're super excited about him getting that second chance. His family that came in and got him was perfect. It was a good fit, so there was reason behind why it took the time that it did. But a few of our others that we have currently, so Celia, she's a female, just a domestic medium here, and she actually is in our cat sanctuary. So as I had kind of talked about before, our cat sanctuary is dedicated to our cats that are positive for FIV or FELV, and that's your feline leukemia or immunodeficiency. And so in her case, she's FIV positive. So that means she cannot house with any other cats unless they also are positive for that same FIV. She also has to be an indoor cat, so there can't be any outdoor exposure because their immune system is weakened. But she's otherwise a completely healthy cat, can lead a completely normal life in a home setting. So she's one that we would love to see find a home soon.
So I want to ask you another question, more of a personal question. When you go to when we go to work every day, you know, we're going to a situation where there's no animals, and I'm just wondering, what are your feelings like every day you open that door and go in there? Are you excited for what you do? Are you worried about your animals? What happens to you when you walk through that door every day, and when you leave that door every day?
Yeah, I mean, it's a combination of feelings. All of our staff here are very passionate about our animals, and we want what's best for them. And so I think, like, for me personally, Oliver, he's kind of my guy. We've got a special bond, but we want them to have happiness at the end of this. They get this small little glimpse of what home life is going to be like. But, like, my dog's at home. They're on the bed with us. They sleep with us. You know, they get table scraps. I want these animals to experience those little pieces in life and get their second chance to really have that happiness.
What's it like to watch a dog walk out the door with a new owner?
Oh, it's incredible. It's one of my favorite parts of the job. Just seeing what they were like at intake time and how nervous and anxious they are to when they leave and they're just bouncing off the walls so excited. You can see their smiles. Dogs are really good at showing their happy emotions. And so when you just see that smile, you know this is good.
Well, we thank you for joining us today.
Wait, John, we want to hear about what's the future in the horse sanctuary.
Oh.
Yeah, so horse sanctuary, that's something that we're definitely in the works on, have some plans going in place. We would love to be able to break ground on that in the spring. So some of the details on that are still being determined and what route we're going to take with that, whether it be a sanctuary setting or truly being able to bring in horses and adopt them out. So it's still in the works, but we're hopeful. We know that that's going to totally set us out in a different direction and allow some more exposure throughout the Midwest. So we're excited about what that can be.
And not only do you take care of, you have facilities to take over 100 dogs, you're going to expand again?
Yeah, we're hopeful. We have the area to do it. So anything we can do to help more animals, we're all about that.
Wow, I'm just scrolling through the Instagram of Babinski Foundation and seeing all these animals.
Oh my gosh.
And the Babinski gymnasts. There's a video there. Is that in your offices?
So that is actually our viewing room. So that's where we do our meet and greets with each of the animals.
That's fantastic. How do you think, you said you didn't get a chance to meet the founder and who this foundation is named after, Donald Babinski, but I bet you get a feeling of what he would think of what you're doing there.
Yeah, that's something that we kind of talk about through our managers' meetings as well, is, gosh, I think Donald would be so proud to see what we're doing here. We've impacted a lot of lives. Our community is responding well to us. They're supportive of us. That's the only reason that we're growing at the rate that we are. And so, we couldn't do it without our followers. So anytime you see any of our Facebook or Instagram posts, please share them. That gives these animals the best opportunity to find their new family.
That's Jennifer Lee. You can find her surrounded by cats and dogs at the Babinski Foundation in Pequot Lakes. Or you can find out what dogs and cats are up for adoption by going to BabinskiFoundation.org. Thanks so much for your time today, and let's keep in touch. Let's get some more animals adopted. That would be great.
That sounds great, Heidi. Thank you so much for having me, John and Heidi.
Give some love to Oliver.
Yes. Come visit him.
Yeah. All right. We will.
Oh, my
God.
Bye.
Area Voices is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the citizens of Minnesota.